were you and where were you taken to?
I was locked up, removed from general population. They placed me in a solitary confinement. It was called the CCU unit, custody control unit, and they kept me away from everybody because they felt like I was, you know, considered an activist inside the Indiana Department of Corrections, and that they felt me being in the general population during the 9th, September the 9th event, that I would be instrumental in organizing unity and solidarity for the prison population. And again, that is a unit where you're locked in 23 hours a day, only allowed a shower 3 times a day, and your food is brought to you. I'm handcuffed and escorted around on a dog leash daily. Every time I leave my cell, they got to put shackles and handcuffs on my hands and feet, and they escort me around like I'm an animal with video recordings and things of that nature.
Yeah, it sounds, it's like, yep, trying to really keep squashed down the amount of contact you have with everybody else.
Yeah, see, what they try to do is, the whole objective was to use me as a symbol to basically destroy unity and solidarity. And when they released me, the whole objective was that they wanted to send a message to the general population that if you're going to be influential in creating activism inside of my prison, I am going to do you just like I did Kalfani Malik Khaldun. We put him on lockup. We put him in solitary. We placed him under investigation. He didn't do anything. He didn't violate any rules, so we had to release him. But the whole objective was to remove me from the general population for a specific specified time, as when the so-called planned protest would be over with. So that's what they did. It was an attempt to suppress influence of political activism. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. And also, what does the prison population think about that game that they're playing?
Well, there was a lot of prisoners that were upset because they know that it is very important for us to expose prison exploitation. When you have prisoners working on jobs for 12 and 16 hours, but they're being paid 20 cents a day as opposed to what they would be getting out on the streets having a normal job, they get, once a month, they get something like maybe $90 as opposed to on the street. They would be getting $1,000 or more for working 16 hours every 2 weeks. You know what I mean? So we know that we're being exploited, and it's our right, our First Amendment right under the United States Constitution to express what it is that we feel that the conditions are and the oppression that we're being subjected to. So it's imperative that we, as a collective body of exploited prisoners who are basically wage slaves, to expose the contradictions of slave labor and exploitation.
Yep, that's awesome. You know, I'm so glad you reached out to us. And who do you want us to connect with? Like, who are you, like, what's an email, what's a name of people that you want this sent to? Because we're going to do what we do with it, but we also want to make sure that your people know about it.
Okay, let me get you some information here. I have recently started a movement here in Indiana called the Free Indiana Movement. It's in conjunction with the Free Alabama, Free Indiana, Ohio, Free Chicago movements, and Free Mississippi movements. We have linked ourselves with this movement, you know, in a way of establishing a national collective unit to expose prison slavery. Then, you know, they also targeted us as far as our mail. All of the political stuff that I've been getting, like the San Francisco Bay View, I have not received not one of them since like maybe 5 months. I haven't received the last 5 months because they're confiscating them, saying it's a threat to the safety and security, or it's offensive to other races. And so I'm filing grievances on it. And I believe that the editor, what's her name, Mary and her husband, and they have lawyers who are about to file a lawsuit against Indiana Department of Corrections to expose it. So I'm trying to encourage prisoners to start to file grievances so that we can show on a national level that they are targeting conscious, active prisoners' freedom of speech and freedom of association. Because the moment that they locked me up, the whole thing was they wanted me, they tried to intimidate me to not associate with no more organizations, no more political activists, saying you got to watch who you're associated with. You are connected to this, that, and the other, and they're out there doing this, and now we can lock you up for it. So this, I'm like, wait a minute. So what you trying to tell me? I got to disassociate myself, and then y'all are going to release me? I said, no. I said, I love who love me. I support who support me. So I know that activism, real genuine activism, political activism, is a labor of love. And I'm a revolutionary, and I love the people. So whatever sacrifice that has to be made, that is what I'm willing to do, as opposed to allowing myself to be intimidated when I know that for years I have made myself a symbol of speaking up and speaking out. You know, and with the support of the people, I'm going to continue to do so.
You know, that's a beautiful sentiment. And the other thing about it is they're lying. Like, when you fight, you win. Power concedes nothing without a demand. They're just, it's a stall. It's a tactic. It's a game. It's like, come on, man, how many times have they played that game?
Hey, I'm loving that slogan, when we fight, we win. You know, I've used that in a couple interviews that I've done, and I've used that in a couple articles that I wrote. And a lot of the prisoners now, they're starting to see that if we unify and that if we have the support of people like yourself and Prison Radio and San Francisco Bay, they let Bayview, they letting our voices be heard. And when they see that with the help of the voice outside, pressure in the DOC, and then they concede, and then they start to let us go, put us back in general population, stop harassing us, start releasing our mail. When they start to see that, they become empowered. They like, oh man, I see that now. I see that if we get together and we let the people know what's going on with us, and the people respond from out there, and then they bow down in here, it's like, it gives them a sense of, oh, yeah, the struggle is for real. The struggle is for real, and I want to be a part of it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I really do. All right.
And that's what happened here. That's what happened here, though. It motivated people who was in the shadows to come out of the shadows. I want to be heard. I want my voice to be heard now because I have something to say. I'm tired of being exploited. I'm tired of being stepped on. You know, and with the help of the people, that's why I've always said that activism is a labor of love. When I studied Che Guevara and his work and how he loved the people and how he died as a result of his sacrifices, I love the art of activism and the power of the people. Those two things are what motivate me for the last 30 years to keep fighting and keep winning.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, and just holler back when you can. Keep writing.
I will.